Death, go away. The world stinks. What a rotten life. Why are we here? Try understanding. Songs are feelings. Music is strength. Love is beautiful. Children are needed. Adults are teachers. Learning is life. Try remembering.
That was from a poem called A Lifetime Passing Beyond the Sunset. Ruth Scott, a participant in an adult literacy project, wrote it and read it. This is Rock Meets Bone. I'm Brian Guns. In this program, The Working Theater Project, an unusual blend of amateurs and professionals, of theater not for plays, but for people. For years, Mulgrave Road Co-op Theater has been involved in many different forms of community-based theater in northeastern Nova Scotia. In the spring of 1989, in cooperation with Canada Employment, they began working with some local people who wanted to improve their reading and writing skills. As part of this literacy upgrading project, the participants created and performed in a play about a baseball team. Here is an excerpt from their performance in Dartmouth.
Okay, we only have 1 week before our first game, so let's get going here.
Good play, Wanda. Bet you can't do that again. See, I told you so.
Shut your mouth.
It's not my mouth that's the problem, it's your hands.
Your mouth! That's enough from both of you.
Why can't you just play ball with your big mouth shut?
You're the one with the big mouth. I'm not taking no more of this fight. Practice is over for the day.
Chris Hyde is a playwright and former Mulgrave Road artistic director.
Somebody saw a preview or an early dress rehearsal and made a remark that it was good, but, good but. And I knew they were about to make some sort of comparison with other shows that we had done that had been done by entirely professionals, and they were going to try and draw that kind of line, but I cut them off fairly smartly because I said that I thought it was not only good, but it was by far and away the best show they'd ever done. And of course, none of them had ever done a show before, but that's what I mean. You can't go applying some kind of arbitrary standards to this kind of work, and as a professional, that's very hard, because most professional artists struggle against a notion they have of their own ability and their own quality, and they try and push that struggle all the way along. At any time that they're forced to modify some sort of standards because of a situation like this, it's almost like starting over. But I've never had that particular hang-up, and no doubt I have lots of others. I think that we really we can set very high standards for ourselves, but they have nothing to do with the standards of Broadway or of London or something like that, but they're extremely high. As I said, really, this was a very difficult project for everybody involved. What we were working on was a play called Time Out, and that was simply one aspect of the Working Theater project, which was a 16-week project that was coordinated by the Mulgrave Road Co-op Theater in Guysborough. And the project in its entirety was designed by Ed McKenna and Debbie Dort for the Canada Employment and Immigration people in Guysborough County and Antigonish County. They as much suggested to us as we to them that perhaps we work together on something that could reach beyond the simple people looking for a job and actually get to those who had sort of longer term problems with keeping and finding work. During the 16 weeks, we worked with a number of guest instructors as well, but generally the people that were there in the room every day would be myself, Chris Hyde, and Debbie Dort, and the five participants we were working with, Libby Byard and Sue Clyke, who are from Sunnyville, just outside Guysborough, Ruth Scott from Guysborough, Huey Ash from Lincolnville, and Ernie McCrae from Dundee and Cape Breton. They created their own play about concerns that they had from living there and being brought up there, and as a result of their upbringing, and, you know, very real things that happened to them.
This is Ruth Scott.
I knew when I went there that I couldn't read very well or write, and I knew it was no sense of me being embarrassed if I was going to get help. I mean, I went to get help with it, and people was there to give me help, and, I mean, that was a great opportunity for me. So, you know, I mean, why be embarrassed if somebody's going to help you? If you need to improve your reading and writing and open new doors because of it, I mean, great things can happen to you. And why not go for it?
Huey Ash from Lincolnville.
I was really embarrassed at first, like, you know, for an adult going to learn a course like that. That can, you know, kind of feel embarrassed. The people can talk about you and that. And you don't know, you feel right down, like, but at first, I felt that way, but now I feel all together different about it. Like, that I just like to tell other people that, you know, to come on forward, get the education if they need it.
Come in.
Hello, teacher.
Oh, good grief. Hello, Charles. Don't you have ball practice this evening?
Yes, I'm going over there soon. I'd like to get a little help from you first. Are you busy?
I might have a minute. I've got these tests to be cracked to have a seat.
Could I get you to help me write this letter to Wanda? I haven't seen her in a couple of days.
Aren't you going to see her tonight at the ball field?
Yeah, but I didn't stick up for it last practice when the coach was picking at her. She might not talk to me. I was just passing the letter.
Will you just write "Dear Wanda" in the comma? Go ahead. I've got these tests to be cracked. There's 35 in this class, and they're all going to want them back in the morning.
Libby Byard and Sue Clyke.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't read out in front of nobody. I didn't like reading out in front of anyone, but I don't mind doing now at all. That's helped a lot.
Were you shy?
I was shy, yeah. Always were. Yeah, but I didn't like reading out in front of anybody.
Yeah. But, well, I didn't like doing that, not in, like, a group or anything. But I took a CEW course, and that's what mainly we were doing, like everybody talking out in groups.
Yes, because Sue was a very shy person.
Was.
No.
Not very shy, but shy.
Could I bother you for a moment? How you spell buddy?
Charles, you're 14 years old. You should be able to spell a simple little word like buddy. B-U-D-D-Y.
As an artist, my interest in theater is as a means of community development, and I don't, where theater doesn't serve a purpose that has to do with the people and the development of those people and their ability to work together in a community or even in a family, in a unit. When theater doesn't serve those kinds of ends, it doesn't have an interest for me as an artist. So I'm looking always for the opportunities to work very closely with all kinds of different people in the community, not therefore just with professional artists, other professional artists. And so for me as an artist, that was inspiring and difficult. And I think it was difficult for them too. We asked a tremendous amount of the participants in this program. And it would have been difficult for, I think, almost anybody of any background who had had nothing to do with theater before, you know, whether they had literacy skills or not. So it was a tremendously difficult task for us all to take on, but the rewards and the potential rewards seem to me to be equally great.
Debbie Dort is an adult education community worker.
You would say you're going to get up on stage and be in front of a whole room full of people. You know, then it's built. I mean, I think that was one of the things people kept asking along the way. Well, are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be ready for this? You know, so that had more of a fear impact, I think, than took the heat off of the reading and writing part in some ways, because it all blended together. So it wasn't just a night course in reading and writing, because you could have other skills coming into it.
Yeah.
You know, CEIC said that everybody had to be at a certain level, below a certain level, like to, people had to qualify.
Teacher. Mrs. Williams.
What do you want, Charles?
Could I read you this, what I have wrote?
You're talking too much. I've got these tests to be marked. I've got a bad headache, and I'm late for a meeting with the principal about the budget.
I just want to tell you.
Charles, I'm late. If you want some help, you have to come back another day.
At an early age, I had to leave home when I was 14, and went to PEI. From leaving an all-black village, and not seeing hardly any white people around here then, at that time, I went over to PEI, and it was all white community, and I don't think they ever seen a color person over there, it was kind of name calling and a little bit of discrimination there. But after I was over there for about maybe 6 weeks or so, I got to mingle in. They got used to seeing a black person not in the community, so it out pretty good. Although I got in a few scuffles here and there, yeah, but worked out pretty good. So I had to take the work and kind of fake things there, because everybody was kind of brighter than I was and didn't know what exactly to do. So I guess I learned from there, experienced from there, how to survive in that.
I lived so far away from school, I couldn't attend school because the school bus never went where I lived at. My mom taught me at home. In fact, all of us, there was 11 in the family, correspondents. She didn't have the right to mark if they were okay or not, or as she was just there to learn us to read and write and do math. And as she went along, she learned herself. She only had grade 4. There was pretty few of us, so we didn't get much time to do as much as, as we should have done. My mom took ill. I remember when I was 12 years old, and she had to go away for quite a while, and I had to look after my youngest brother, which was 2.5 years old, and help with a lot of the housework and outside work, which my teaching through correspondence stopped for a while with me. And I didn't know what it was to be with children of my own age at that time. I didn't know anything about music being taught in schools or libraries or extra books I could read or anything like that. The first time I was inside the school, when I took my daughter there, and I was at the age of I think around 30 years old. And it was only a small school, and I was amazed what I found into it. But I was more amazed when I went to a bigger school where my husband worked as a janitor and seen these nice big rooms, and there was all rugged into it and blackboards and all the instruments into a music room and the big library, everything. I was amazed, and I just thought, look, what a real school has offered someone, which I never seen until then. And I kind of thought of all the things I missed out on too, I would say, and things would have been way better for me if I had an opportunity to be into a school when I was younger. I only had my grade 8, and then after my husband died sudden, I didn't have very much education or a career to just go out and say, well, I have a career for myself and life would be much different. It was just going back and thinking, well, am I going to be able to go to work in this project? But I said, well, it's a good chance for me. And I was really nervous for my first interview, and I found it kind of hard working with a group at first because I wasn't used to working with a group and doing all the things that we're doing together first. But then it became fun and it came exciting, and a lot of new things start happening with me.
Now look what you did.
Joe, do you think?
What did I do? He's going, he's not coming back.
He's just an old drunk anyway.
That wasn't a nice thing to say.
You don't tell me what to say.
Tom doesn't seem like an old drunk to me. I've seen a lot worse. You should take a trip to Halifax and get to see what my father's like.
I don't want to know your father.
Well, if that's the way you feel, I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Who cares? Charles, my friend, right, Charles?
Yeah, but I haven't seen you in a couple of days. If you want to be my friend now, you have to go over to the coach's house. He's feeling down. He needs us to come over and apologize.
Charles is right, Wanda. I think we should go over and let bygones be bygones myself. Let's go over and get the coach back on the field.
That's a good idea.
Let's go, Brian.
I didn't want a script because generally we created our plays out of improvisation and people memorized their lines as you went along. You didn't bother with a script. You had a list of scenes and people knew more or less what happened in each one of those scenes. They might not know every line perfectly, but then you just went out and you did it. And there were always songs and a lot of humor, and that sense of improv and of energy was part of what won people over. But so I thought we'd probably do the same thing in this project. We probably wouldn't have a script. And as we improv the research matter for the show, and then as we improv the actual story about the baseball team and such, we weren't really writing it down until finally we came to a kind of point where we had to decide whether we were going to do this or not. And as with every other decision, we basically just put that decision to the group. And the group was emphatic that they wanted the script. They wanted to see it written down. They felt that this would really help them to memorize it, and it would really help them to feel they had something that they could go on stage with. So, all right. The way we had came up with the lines then was to go back over all the scenes we had that we decided to keep and do them very slowly, sort of trying to improvise in slow motion so that either Debbie or I could write down what each person said. So we did that over 2 or 3 days. It took a while. And then I went away in one day and took about 6 or 8 hours or whatever and typed out exactly what they had said, with only some very minor editing changes where perhaps it wasn't totally clear what they had said, or we simply had improv to a point where we sort of couldn't get out of and needed just a couple of lines to kind of get somebody out of a scene or something like that. But other than that, it was entirely the words they had said, and brought it back the next day, and we sat around the table and we read the script out loud. And of course, participants had some difficulty with reading when they first came into the program, and even though we'd been working at that point for about 12 weeks, it was still kind of halting, slow at reading some of the passages. And that first reading was very difficult to read through the script that time. And yet they were reading the exact same words as they talked through, you know, just right before. But because they were now on paper, you know, we had to start all over again then, and for about 2 weeks work to get back the kind of casual tone of conversation that had been there before it was ever written down. And of course, memorize it at the same time, which was, you know, another big hurdle.
Even if we hadn't done a play, using the theater, using role play, using the story circle, having to work cooperatively as a group, all of those things, and I don't know whether that's just theater, but I mean, I think it is, because if you do a show, you're working with a group of people, and you have to work together, or it won't go forward. So the whole process of having to develop the skills to have relationships with everybody on an individual basis, and then to combine that into a group, is not something that we ordinarily do in society, I think, as a whole. I mean, we have our baseball teams, we have all those kind of things, but they're still based on a power, and someone's better than somebody else, and that, and someone can get paid this many dollars, someone else will get paid this many dollars, and it's not really valued on personal terms. But working in a group like this is just amazing, because the entire effort becomes more if everyone is giving what they have, and if it's coming out of them, then it becomes bigger in some way.
And hear them tell their sides and their stories and things like that. Yeah, it made a big difference. Well, I was more of a person that keep to myself, like, we'll see. I wouldn't hardly tell anybody anything. Like, I just more like a loner, like. And some people used to call me to tell me that I was too independent, like, whatever, I don't know. But I just wouldn't tell nobody what makes me tick or nothing like that, eh? just a guy, like, a weirdo to them, like, because they didn't know what make me tick and that. So it kind of helped me to open up and come forward to get to things what I wanted. Like,
I think it boils down to people having a voice, and whether that's in the political arena or the educational arena, or projecting their voice through theater so other people can hear it, or being a part of their own community voice. I think this project helps people to find what they have, or in their terms, how they see themselves, how they would want themselves to be projected to the community, how they want to be perceived. But it also helps them to question that.
Yeah, that's right, because we all have a voice, but sometimes life and experience is such that we're not allowed to really discover exactly what that is. And we just took a little chunk of time out of everybody's life who was on the project and said, you know, go at it.
And how can the people that are labeled that way in certain ways have a voice to project back, so that then their views bring the whole base of the community up, as opposed to being separate from, that it's incorporated in, so that eventually society's attitude also contains their voice, not just those who have the power to have a voice.
Well, if one of your goals is to let somebody find their voice, in a way your planning is more to remove obstacles than to actually, you know, structure things, so that you're just constantly trying to work on trust and on love and on sharing, and hope that will allow the other obstacles to come out of the way so that people can actually bring out what they want to do, what they want to say.
And I got to write poetry. In fact, I started writing a piece of poetry every day. And here's a piece of poetry here today I'd like to read. And it's titled, A Lifetime Passing Beyond the Sunset. When your burdens are too many and anger is sitting on your shoulder, when you look in that old looking glass and it shows fear on your face, try coping. When life seems to be out of view and battles are always being fought, why everyone blames one another, leaving behind war paths of regrets and finding there is no place to hide, try loving. Death, go away. The world stinks. What a rotten life. Why are we here? Try understanding. Songs are feelings. Music is strength. Love is beautiful. Children are needed. Adults are teachers. Learning is life. Try remembering.
Well, after I finish this, and then I was going around September, I'm going to take a month off and get organized for winter, and I didn't have much time to get wood and that stuff cut. Like, and then around September, I'm going to try to bug Manpower putting me into a upgrading course. Like, because if I go through Manpower, they'll give me an allowance while I'm going. That way I'll be able to support home, state, and still get education at the same time. Like, and after I finished upgrading and that, I'm kind of hoping that I can do another show with Mulgrave Road here on discrimination. We was talking about that. Chris Hyde was talking about it. To reach, maybe I could reach some of the blacks and the whites and maybe the Indians and them too, like, mm-hmm. All Native people, like, and get a message across to them and that we're all equal, eh? And should live in peace. I like to get along with everybody myself.
And when this is all over, I'm planning on going back and doing volunteer work in the rest home, read to the blind, and I can go in there now and I can sit and I can read to them and feel good about it. And I don't have to skip over a word that I can't pronounce and hoping nobody will hear me. I can go in there and read and feel really great about it in a more stronger way than I have ever been before. So, and I would like to get involved or doing other things in probably groups of learning, reaching out for other people, perhaps in the younger generation, for teenagers that needs to go back to school, if I can work with them in any way of doing that, or even older people, I'm willing to do it. as just volunteer work. And I think that the strength that I have in this project will always be with me to be able to help other people too. And I feel great about that because that's a big part of me. I'd be able to help other people and getting the strength and from this project to be able to live life different than I've been ever before, really, in so much more stronger ways. I'm very thankful for that. And I'm glad it happened.
Oh my Lord, it's the whole team. I run and get some chips or something.
Cut chips, cut man.
We decided to come over to cheer you up.
Kind of like to say we're sorry and try to get you back on the field there with us.
How about that? Where's Wanda?
She's on her way.
Well, you know how she is. She wouldn't walk down like us. She said she was going to take her father's car.
You going to sing me a song? Have a seat.
Yeah, you're going to have to sing too.
Well, Charles, that was in the old days. I don't sing no more. I ain't so my own guitar.
There's Wanda.
You can borrow mine, Coach. I don't want to say, but thanks, Wanda. And thanks, everyone.
Will you start us off, Dan?
Have a seat.
Well, it's been so long, I don't know where to begin.
Well, you just have to learn then, won't you?
I'll try with your help.
Okay, here we go.
I'd like to thank Mulgrave Road Cooperative Theatre and all the participants for their generosity. Rock Meets Bone is produced with the assistance of the Naropa Institute of Canada. Thanks for listening.